The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
No, just,
well, a better way.
A better way.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. It's World Daily. I'm James Sharman. We have Jeffrey Cole. We have Daniele Wongerton. We have Amy Dubsy Walsh. That's it. Just the four of us today. I mean, listen, the show blossoms in the absence of Craig Forrest and Jimmy Brennan.
And just so everyone knows, in radio land and podcast land, if this isn't seen on YouTube, Dubs and JC were doing the Donald Trump dance or Lukaku's version of Donald Trump dance. So just FYI, we do a lot of things that you don't see or hear on air, but sometimes you do on the YouTube channel. So,
well, for those of you that just listen, maybe every now and again, check out the YouTube so you can see our beautiful faces. For those of you that just watch the YouTube, you know what? We got a full hour-long show on our podcast platforms.
Yeah.
You just see a snippet on YouTube. A snippet. Now, one day, maybe the full show will be on YouTube. You never know. But right now, it's not. So you like this little 15, 20-minute segment on YouTube? Imagine an hour of this.
Wow. Well, we were thinking about our Patreon, right? You get a full hour of video or full YouTube video on our Patreon. Maybe that's what we'll be doing on
that's not a bad idea for $3 a month.
Yeah.
It's pretty
well,
good.
We'll say about as, that.
As we sell ourselves, the first thing we do is sell ourselves.
For $3.
$3. Yeah. We're cheap as...
That's what I used to charge back in the day.
What? Was it? That a boy?
$3 an hour.
I was at Naked News? At Naked News? Yeah.
We're losing people right now. Right now, we're losing people.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Today, Argentina, Egypt, Switzerland, Colombia, as Vancouver says, farewell to the World Cup. Well done, Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Done yourselves proud. Yesterday, Portugal out, courtesy Spain. United States out, courtesy Belgium. Let's start with that, shall we? Dubs, is this justice served? Is that fair? I've got this weird, strange emotion that I've got to look into the mirror and really assess and unpack. I got sympathy for the players of the United States. I'm not happy being in that place, but I don't like the position they're put in by that orange thing that runs their country.
Yeah, the orange thing, and then also the bald guy that he's in bed with, who he looked himself in the mirror and he said, "I feel corrupt." Right? Because that's what it was. But yeah, let's start there because I do empathize with the players and the impossible situation they were put in. You had Flo Balogun and his reaction to the red card, which was contentious because a lot of people said it's not a red. It is a red. But the important thing to remember now is that teams will feel hard done by. There will be calls that you don't like, but it's part of the sport. And everybody understood that you couldn't appeal said decision. And then in swoops Infantino, Trump had his absolutely disgusting press conference where he's talking about the shady past of the referee and talking about fouls and how he knows everything about sport. I don't want to spend too much time on that. We know how it all ends up, right? But then for the players, the narrative is now Trump. The narrative is now corruption and this blight on the game. So they were almost damned if they did and damned if they didn't, right? Like I think just desserts were served and it was poetic justice in a sense, the way that they were humiliated by the Belgians, because let's be honest, that's what it was. 4-1 defeat where we alluded to the Lukaku and other Belgian players doing the Trump dance at the corner flag when they scored that kind of insurance goal in injury time. But, you know, Belgium was by far and away the better team. But that is the only appropriate kind of end to this saga, and it's not ended, but like that puts a bow on it because the US is now out and all of the co-hosts are now out. But that's the only outcome that will allow Infantino, I think, some semblance of control and some semblance of kind of leadership at this point. Had the US won, that was forever going to be an asterisk. And everybody would have called into question the fact that Balogun was allowed to play that match. And I've seen some interesting memes this morning, friends, and we've seen some over the course of this tournament. But I think the fact that Balogun played and he was very ineffective, a lot of people are saying he actually did serve his red card ban. But he played it out. So I do feel for the players because you have to still go out there and play the match. And you saw the way that Belgium started. They were front-footed. They smothered them. They almost beat them at their own game, where they were going very direct. They were breaking the press. They were all over them in the first 15 minutes. It could be argued for 90 minutes. They were much the better side. But that's the way you expected the U.S. to come out. And they were unable to because I think they couldn't compartmentalize the opponent. They couldn't compartmentalize just the game in front of them because of all of the outside noise. And they were put into that position by their own president, by their federation, and by Infantino himself, who made a mess of things.
I think it's such poetic justice that without doubt, the Belgians used that as bulletin board material. And that's a cliche, but they absolutely did for this one. That was something they had to get behind and use. And you know, it was talked about all week long. Well, at least it's since the story broke. I thought it was classy, though, to see Balogun go up to Rudy Garcia post-match. And Rudy Garcia said, listen, I had a great chat. And I told him it wasn't his fault, and it's not his fault. And no one should be holding anything against Flo Balogun. Except perhaps maybe the American fans say, where were you? Where were you, Flo? You're maybe our best player. You didn't do anything.
I don't think he had much of a chance, though. Like, no, Belgium was so superior in every facet. And just a reminder for people out there, Belgium, 4 years ago, almost every player that you're seeing right now, they were considering them, not every player, but a lot of the players were considered the golden generation of the Belgium team and the Belgian Federation. They were ranked number two going into the World Cup, if I remember correctly, in 2022. So what they're accomplishing this year is, to be honest, is kind of a surprise. I didn't think they'd look this good, but they also, I mean, Lukaku is bossing. And I find that so kind of inspirational when he's I don't know, maybe 5-10 pounds overweight and seems like he's lumbering a little, but he's just got perfect feet right now and they're aiming in the perfect area and he's pushing people off. And it makes me feel like, hey, this sport there's a lot of people that this sport is touching and it's giving more to. So perhaps what this American kind of fiasco with FIFA has done is put more eyes on what's going on the pitch. If I can be positive, because, you know, sports doesn't, there's meritocracy, obviously, as we saw with Iran, but it also has a way of karmic, a balance in some points too.
Yeah. And it was really good to see that. And remember, Wonger, that Belgium did this. They were so dominant. Like, Tielemans was brilliant in the middle of the park. Mm-hmm. Trossard has had an outstanding World Cup. You had De Ketelaars with the brace, like and the way in which he did it, like climbing up, it was almost metaphorical, up and over Tim Ream, you know, the aging defender. Like, that was almost a microcosm of the match in itself, but they did it all by not starting Kevin De Bruyne, not starting Doku, and not starting Lukaku, who scored his 93rd international goal. So they were more effective keeping those guys on the bench. And I think it maybe speaks, Sharms will get into Cristiano Ronaldo and the way that he's kind of held everybody hostage with his legacy. And then that number nine, who's going to be unmoving. So three guys there who will continue to play a role for Belgium moving forward, but are able to play a bit part and can put their egos aside.
Yeah, there's no doubt those golden generation Belgian teams, which featured the players you just mentioned, underwhelmed at World Cups. They should have won something, a European Championship or a World Cup. They were that good. They didn't manage it, and then perhaps they stuck around a little bit too long, maybe. So now finally it takes a very brave manager to say, you know what, thanks, Kev. You're amazing for all you've done, but you've shown yourself at this World Cup, where Belgium haven't looked great every game by any stretch. In fact, they've been very, very questionable at times. They finally drop those players and they find themselves with a little sprinkling of Trump in there.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
I'm going to, there's a comment from a new listener viewer, Jason Cassidy, 9937.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason. Now the party can start. That's the cleanest thing I could think of in the moment. I just got back from watching the U.S. get bounced from the tournament. It's not a shock, but I didn't expect all the hosts to go out in this round. As for Canada, I enjoyed watching your team play. It sucks about all your injuries and shows how gritty y'all are. Okay, I tried to keep it clean with the 69 stuff, but... And I just go to the part of the pod where Wonger says, now we're talking about finishing in the box. It's so dirty, it's wonderful. Anyways, it's a shame how the game, how your game ended. I loved watching your team practically run Morocco off the field in the first half. Anyways, I just wanted to read that one because it shows that, first of all, new listeners, thank you. New viewers, thank you. But there's a sense of what is going back to what I was talking about, the what's happening on the field, that people are watching this game and they watched Canada play and they, you know, were watching the U.S. play. And once again, maybe not as many people are involved in watching football if it isn't for this fiasco sometimes. And I think that's quite, you know, could be a dominant theme that actually helps the game sometimes. More eyeballs.
Yeah. No, more eyeballs, yeah. And quite honestly, we need more eyeballs and ears south of the border on us. So, Jason, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Spread the word.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we get more numbers,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, no. Sorry to cut you off. But I just wanted to throw it out on that note. I was Fort Erie, Ontario is where I reside. And it is not necessarily the most, what do we say?
Hotbed?
Sure, for soccer football fans. But last night, after I went to the gym, I popped into my local Chuck's Roadhouse for a delicious beverage on my way home. And the game was on with sound, and it was packed, and people were cheering like mad for Belgium. And I'm looking around, I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, the guy next to me, are you Belgian? He's like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, I just want to see the States lose. And everyone was, it's a border town. We love the Americans. We love Buffalo. We love those folks. But everyone in that bar was rooting against the States. And they didn't know anything about soccer, but they just knew what had happened. And they wanted to see retribution. And they
it's amazing how that man turns the world against that country more and more. Yeah. I don't get
the only thing here. I can say, Sharms, is it's a best 2 out of 3. So the U.S. has a good chance.
We're adding another game.
Infantino just announced that it's a best 2 out of 3 for this Belgium.
Can we just touch, before we go on, we have to touch on the fact that I love how JC goes to the gym and then rewards himself with a beer. That's amazing.
Then he went to Dairy Queen, Burger King. He did it all last night.
He's justified it, right? It's about maintaining, not improving, right? You burn 500 calories at the gym, you have a beer. You can have a beer. Maybe you have two. You're good.
You do that math.
Can I just show something here? You guys probably saw it. So props to the Belgium team admin And so it was a picture of Lukaku and the Belgian team, the Red Devils, celebrating. And the caption is, overturn this.
That is great.
And it is great. So there was something, to JC's point, that united everybody in cheering against the U.S. And Sharms and I were on One Soccer yesterday, and I made it known that I spent most of my national team career getting humiliated by the U.S. just because they were so much better than us. But I also benefited from U.S. resources going down there and elevating my game, going the NCAA route. So there was a certain like acceptance of who they were, where we fit into the world game as being the neighbors to the north. But they were always going to be kind of the dominant force. And I think that's changing a little bit. But I think the impetus now, and with the way that that narrative was co-opted by Trump and Infantino, is it had a lot of people cheering for the U.S. to fail. And so I was delighted to see them go down, not just by a little bit, but to absolutely get trounced and to get like run over by Belgium and to lose 4-1. I loved to see that.
And maybe, you know, we need to readdress their World Cup overall, because I've said it a number of times how impressed I was by the States at this World Cup. And they have looked pretty good in general, but you break it down and they beat the Paraguay team in the first match, and Paraguay grew into this tournament and looked much better. That was a bit of the outlier in their performances. They beat Australia, you know, good performance against a pretty decent Australian team. Lose to Turkey. Admittedly, they rotated and they lost late in that one. But really great match, though. Then they beat Bosnia, which is hardly a world beater, and then get smashed by Belgium. You then go back to this year overall and their decision to play teams like Belgium, like Portugal, like Germany, and losing all those games in the build-up to the World Cup. You start wondering, man, they kind of blew it. They made some really bad choices here. And when
sorry, Sharms, what was this? I remember them playing Belgium. Wasn't it 4-0 or 4-1 also? 5-2.
Yeah.
So it also wasn't close, right? In the friendly.
Got smashed in those games. And Pochettino's been offered a new deal, and he said he'll assess it. I don't know whose idea it was to play those teams, but there was no winning culture cultivated before the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And Dubs, you know, you, as an international, that does count for something. If no matter who you're playing, it's great to get these sexy teams coming over and playing these big teams and these big players and selling and making lots of money and filling those stadiums. But when you keep losing, something's planted there. Surely that maybe a lack of confidence, and maybe we're not up to that level. So when you do play a top team at the World Cup, last night happened.
It seems to me that they skipped the build, and a key element, a critical element of that team foundation is the culture. If you start to try to go on the ascent and get to where you want to go based on results or opponents and how you're evaluating yourself versus them without having that culture as a huge part of your identity, you know it's going to go off the rails. It's just a matter of time. So I think maybe Pochettino assumed that they were at a certain level in that regard, in terms of the off the pitch, in terms of the leadership. And we know he doubled down on Tim Ream having the armband, right? He took it away from Pulisic. And whether that's right or wrong, I think is beside the point, because I think there was a box that needed to be ticked in the way that this team saw themselves, and maybe needed a little bit of a dash of humility. You have to grind out matches versus teams that you should beat instead of playing these, juggernauts of the world game, and you get beat. Like, I think they thought in scheduling those opponents that they were going to roll over them. I don't think they saw it as, okay, let's play these opponents because we want to be able to glean this aspect about our defensive shape, and we need to really work on defensive transition. And so Belgium is a good opponent for that. I don't know if there was that much foresight in it. So I think it comes back to beat them, or to bite them rather, as they get roundly beaten by Belgium and put in their place in a certain regard.
It's a naive bravado almost, isn't it?
Thinking it's an arrogance.
It's an arrogance, yeah. The station is higher than it actually is. And listen, that's a decent team. And there's some really good players in the US team. And watch out, Gold Cups. They still scare me as a Canadian fan. They're still probably, them and Mexico are probably the class of CONCACAF still, looking at their depth and where those players play. And they're only getting better. And
well,
with the
Sharms, Jason Cassidy referred to the CONCACAF teams as hosts being, you know, relieved of their hosting duties, basically, is a nice way. they were not, I mean, they were supposed to, these two, Canada was the only team that's not in the top 16. Mexico and the U.S., I think, are 14th and 15th, respectively, around there. So this is where they were supposed to lose. Canada was actually, like, when I look at, and going back to Canada's run and our very friendly bracket, all of, and what happened, you know, these teams are supposed to lose in the top 16, and that's where they lost. And it's not a bad thing to reach your expectations. You always want to do more, but it's a, at least a place to build. And I think that the U.S. Men's Federation has a lot to build with. They've got some amazing players who, you know, and if Pochettino, and can I just tell you this, he's giving me John Bennett slash Judd Nelson vibes from Breakfast Club. His face, and and I was just like on his side view, the profile, I was getting a lot of Judd Nelson. I don't know why.
He was definitely Judd Nelson when he kicked the water bottle.
Yes. It was like, does this look like a cigar burn? Does it look like a cigar burn?
I see more Russell Crowe, but I
oh, okay. I maybe that, a mix. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of dressed like, you know, he just came out of a ska concert from the 80s.
Yeah, like specific.
I bet you that kind of jacket slash shirt he's been wearing costs a lot of money.
The slacket?
It's slacket. It's schlacket. It's a schlacket. Yeah. I quite like it, actually, because if you've got a bit of a girth, it does hide the girth. Mm. So I might be shopping for a schlacket myself pretty soon, I think. I like it.
It's like a slanket. It's the same line.
<That's> similar. But you're right, Wongo. You made a good point there. All three hosts were seeded teams and had apparently relatively easy groups. Canada, we can debate that, you know. But they all got through their groups. And then round of 32, they got through those matches as they were expected to, as seeded teams. But round of 16, you start meeting proper football teams. England, Belgium. And of course, England, Belgium, and who did Canada play?
Morocco.
That's right. It was Morocco. but real teams that are see themselves as contending teams, whether they are or not, we can debate that. But they see themselves as contending teams, and this is what happens. This is where we're at in North America. We're not quite there yet. We're knocking on the door. None of those teams, apart from the States, were blown out. England hung on by their dear life to beat Mexico. Canada, I think, played really well against Morocco, beaten by a better team in the end, and the States smashed by Belgium. So that happens. Belgium lost Onana to an ACL. It's been announced now.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm getting really good at diagnosing these things. Mm-hmm. If you saw that, I thought, oh, he's done straight away. And I'm beginning to tell a real injury in soccer in how much of the white of the eyeballs you can see on the player when they first go down. You see a lot of the white of their eyeballs. It's like, oh, they're done. They're not coming back. Just watch the next injury. If they're not really hurt, it's not a big deal. They'll just continue. And, you know. But he knew straight away, almost in shock. Oh, my God, I can't believe I just did this. His World Cup's probably done now, right? Is it a tear? Or is it? I didn't see that. I just saw ACL.
While he came limping out, I was watching. I don't know, Dubs, if you saw he came limping out with one of those Don Joy braces, which tells me almost ACL right away. Because what that does is it replaces the ACL, right, on a support level. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of
look it up. It's definitely an ACL, but I'm not sure whether it's a tear or like a full tear, a sprain or whatever.
He did his ACL.
Yeah. He was,
That's it, ruptured, whether it's partially torn or fully torn.
Yeah.
Okay, it was. By the way, back to the States quickly. Remember Pulisic missed the Gold Cup to be ready and healthy and fit for the World Cup? In the end, he played, I forget who mentioned this on X, I apologize. He played 248 of 515 minutes at the World Cup, and he missed the Gold Cup and caused a lot of angst in US soccer world because of it. Just, I think that's a lesson to players to not think too long and too hard about their international careers. Just play because you never know what's going to happen. Did Alphonso Davies see himself playing 15 minutes of the 2026 World Cup? No. Just play. don't worry about being fit and healthy in time for that tournament, because you never know what might happen. So I do feel bad for Pulisic, because you saw him coming off. The look in his face.
Yeah.
He's a really good player, and he gets a lot of backlash outside the States. I think it's unfair. He's a really good player. I think certain pundits have held him to a degree that's unfair. He's not the U.S. Messi.
Okay. He's not, but Carly Lloyd said so.
I know she did, and she's always right about everything, Dubs. Mm. But that one thing I have to question.
Yeah, right?
It's unfair.
Just to add to the U.S. as we move on likely to something else, I thought that Mauricio Pochettino was going to provide the U.S.
Mopo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not calling him that.
We're going to slank it.
Wills called him Mopo last night, and nothing exception.
sounds like a hot pot. Now I'm hungry.
Mopo.
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 I thought then that Pochettino was going to provide them with the balance and humility to understand how to navigate a tournament. And what the U.S. needs is somebody to bring them down.
Grounding.
Yes, they need a grounding to realize where they are. A reality check.
Hmm. Who's miserable? Right? Who can do that? Who can do that? Who do you think? Who's out there manager-wise that can bring a team down to hate themselves? I think it's Avram Grant. Remember him?
Sharms, have you decided to become a manager? You can bring every room
I can
down.
Do it. No. You guys are shit. 25-09.
Thanks.
But it's not necessarily to be the voice of dissent or to cast to put a dark cloud over everything. You still want to be able to lift the players up, but to do so in a way where you understand kind of where you are, where you fit in, whether it's your own confederation in CONCACAF or whether it's like where you are in the world game. Like, you need to be anchored by something. And to me, it feels like when the U.S. gets into these major tournaments, something that stands in their way is they think they are the best. And you have to believe when you enter every match that you can win. You have to when you get to this level. But you also have to understand who you're up against and the context within which you're playing. And I think the U.S. has lacked that in the past, and it's been to their detriment.
That's fair. I also think we talked about Bosnia-Herzegovina, Canada's first match, and I said that first half they looked a little overwhelmed by the moment. Mm-hmm. I feel like last night the U.S. men's national team, with the spotlight of the world upon them, with Craig Forrest's dulcet tones upon them, I did feel like they were overwhelmed by the moment. And that was nothing. Sometimes you are as a team. Sometimes this is where they were supposed to end. They needed to come up with such a spectacular, we don't make a mistake the entire time. And I think they weren't going back to the opposite of, of hate, or what is it? The opposite of
fear is love.
Fear is love. They played with a lot of fear last night. Mm. They did not look like a freewheeling. You know, when you saw some of those, like the Australian match, I think that's when, like the Paraguay match, first match, I went, okay, they look good. But Australia, they bossed Australia. And it was, you know, to think, oh, I was actually thinking of them going a little further. They came down to earth pretty quickly. And I do think that the moment caught them. And I think that's part of the pressure of playing in the U.S. too, mm-hmm. when the 360 million people eyeballs every 4 years isn't the same as handling pressure every week in and week out in the Prem, week in and week out in the Serie A, Liga, all this kind of stuff. These guys that were under more pressure at a home tournament that they are really the hosts of. Yes, Mexico and Canada get a little bit of play here and there, but this is their tournament. And I think they were overwhelmed.
Yeah, but unprecedented pressure because of, of what was happening outside, right? With this arbitrary ruling to suspend the Balogun red card, right? Yeah. They couldn't control that and they couldn't foresee that. And you're right. I think they were overwhelmed.
100%. 100% they were. And a lot of bigger teams, better teams have been overwhelmed as well at big tournaments. England's mm-hmm. a prime example. tournament after tournament after tournament, the pressure gets to them. And so you have to understand, okay, US, it's okay. It does happen. Build off it. Learn from it, right?
Yep. But it was delightful to watch.
It was delightful. It was wonderful.
Delicious.
It really was. It really was. I think we covered both angles there, I think, pretty well.
I think so too.
I think so. So to our US audience, you know, don't take it personally. Just give us this.
Let us have it.
We don't blame you guys individually. There's one person in particular we blame. Anyway. Well,
the other thing too, Sharm, is what Mexico, Canada, and US are all out. So now we can all pick our second team, our second country, or maybe our third, depending if, you know, because a lot of teams are out.
You can't have a third country.
Wow. If you're Germany, if you're like a Canadian or an American with a German background, what do you do now?
Oh, if you're a German fan, you stop watching a week ago.
That's right. Oh, no, you're hate watching, right?
You're right. okay, Spain, Portugal. I'll go Portugal. One of the most boring games of the World Cup.
Yep.
Sadly. Ronaldo was bad, or maybe not bad. He was inconsequential. Others were bad. Bruno, Vitinha. There were some bad performances in this World Cup from Portugal, but all eyes are on Ronaldo, which is probably a little bit unfair. Maybe. Possibly. I'm not sure. But overall, Portugal dubs underachieved enormously at this World Cup. I had them for a team that could win the whole thing. Mm. But there's always the asterisk. Cristiano Ronaldo. Does he make them better or worse? We know now. But it's not just him.
No, it wasn't just him. And I think yesterday, watching that match, which was in stark contrast to the Mexico England match at the Azteca, which is one of the better matches we've seen this World Cup. And then it was also kind of antithetical to the free-flowing and positive, progressive football that we saw Toronto Stadium host when Portugal were able to get by Croatia. Like, that had top billing, but I think the football delivered. Whereas I think this match versus Spain, who, again, this dark horse, like Spain have never been dark horses. Spain are always right there in front of your face. They should be contenders, and it's whether or not they show up and actually are contenders. They look like a team that can win the World Cup. And both teams were very risk averse. It was a dull match. It was boring football, playing not to lose. But Spain, even though they do lack a little bit of the bite that they have had when they've had success, this is the type of football that they've played. And they've gone on. They've gone on deep runs. They've gone on successful runs. So I think, yes, like, look out for Spain. But back to Portugal, I think Cristiano Ronaldo was like that elephant in the room, you know, that everybody knew who he was. Everybody knows that his trophy cabinet is full. Like, he's been one of the best players for decades, right? But I think his ego has almost tainted his legacy. And I think it's tainted the success potentially that this team could have had. Because you look at that midfield, you look at how brilliant it was. You know, you look at, what was it his name again? Who basically snuffed Lamine Yamal out of the match. Nunez? No. Oh,
Neves?
Neves, yes. Like, he was brilliant until he went down and had an injury. And then Spain started to find their footing. So they had an absolutely talented team. So there's no denying, like, his place in the sport, going back to Ronaldo, because, like, you look at him and now, like, the step overs seem a little bit gratuitous. He doesn't have the same turn of pace. But the sublime bits of skill and athleticism that we've seen over the years, he's done everything for club and country, but time and father time is caught up to Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think he was holding Roberto Martinez and his Portugal team hostage in a way that you couldn't really remove him, you know, because then going back to our conversation about culture and how much that means to a team's success, you really risked upsetting the apple cart if you removed him.
To those Portugal fans who are throwing things at the screen, and how dare you question the great Ronaldo, I challenge you to admit that you watched this World Cup and the last World Cup, by the way, and didn't think of Ronaldo at his best and said, how can this be the same player? He's 41 now, right? He was 37 4 years ago. obviously he's not the same player, but at his best, there were few like him we've ever seen before. He was incredible. He was a joy to watch. Remember that, Ronaldo, and then say, oh, but this one's still him, so it's okay. He's not the same player. It's bull. He shouldn't be playing. It's as simple as that. Now he says this is his last World Cup. Hasn't said yet that he's retired from the national team.
Yeah.
I wonder, he's 24 goals shy of 1,000 international goals. Nations League's coming up. A Euro's coming up. He might want to stick around to get to 1,000. At what point, though, is it okay to be selfish? Because that's pure selfishness. Mm-hmm. The right thing for him to do is to step aside. And quite honestly, and let me ask you this, Wonga, if you're, because Martinez quit, right? They need a new manager, yeah. A new coach. If you're an unemployed manager right now, and you're thinking, your agent goes, listen, the Portuguese job's available. Do you want it until you know whether he's there or not?
You absolutely do. And you stick with him and you let him until he's, I mean, they still got, look, I remember when we started this, our World Cup kind of watch Canada. I'll throw that in. Brought to you by Tim Hortons. Just throwing that in because it sounded good.
Game on with Tim.
Thank you. Six teams were chosen to win. An AI predicted all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying they looked at the bracket. So it was Spain and Portugal were one of them. And it's because they looked at the bracket.
Well, two of them.
But one of them coming out of that side of the bracket is what I was going to say. I should have said. So
I'm being pedantic. Don't worry.
I appreciate your pedant.
Well, Spain, Portugal would be a good thing.
Yeah. And
Spain, Portugal.
Oh, combined?
Yeah.
I think he's one of those guys. He's a million-dollar attraction every time he sets himself on the field. You don't get rid of that until you ride the old horse. And yes, Father
Why?
Time.
Why, Wunger? He's shown that. He dragged
you down. There's not someone else ready to be there.
Yes, there is. Gonsalvo Ramos is sitting there waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Come on.
Father Time is unbeaten, right? But Ronaldo is also unbeaten. I'm just saying.
But he lost yesterday.
Oh, okay. I just mean in his abs and his
I know. Busts. He's still a very impressive human being. I don't think any manager wants that job until they find out whether he's there or not. And if he's going for 1,000 goals dubs and putting himself above what's best for that team, that's a really toxic environment for a coach to walk into.
Yeah, it's a really selfish move also by Ronaldo. You know, I think eventually you have to recognize kind of where you are and you have to step away. And I really don't see him doing that. I think somebody's going to have to put the hammer down and say, this is where it ends. Because to your point, how many goals is he now away from 1,000?
I think it's 24. That's quite a few still. And
it is, but he is of the mind and no one's going to tell him any different in you know, like his entourage. You say like, I want this goal. And we know that he's very driven. That is why his trophy cabinet is full. And obviously the talent that he has is almost unmatched, right? With the way that he's been able to replicate it decade after decade. And the way that he's changed almost what modern footballs look like because of all the work he puts in off the pitch. Like he's forever changed the game. But now you're at a point where you've limped out of a World Cup. Somebody needs to put you to pasture. And it needs to be the Portuguese Federation. Because the way that Messi, I know that we don't always want to do this, but the comparison is always there. The way that Messi was kind of criticized for all the walking at the last World Cup and when he joined Inter Miami, he's found a way to evolve his game. Whereas Ronaldo, there's this petulance and this stubbornness that he's still going to be the player that he once was at 41 by continuing to do the same things. Right? And it's just not working. So somebody needs to sit down with them and say, this is the end of the road, Cristiano.
And it's all very well to build your team around that player, which is what I think Martinez tried to do. But you have these other players with these skill sets that don't need that focal point. You can do something else with a Ramos who's more mobile and become a better team, I think, and flow out of it. I'll tell you this much, though. What would be smart, though, if you're the Portuguese Federation or the government in Portugal, you put them out to a stud farm. And you just stud Ronaldo for the next couple of years. Same thing with Messi eventually in Argentina. all the great players, Modric in Croatia, I'm putting him into a stud farm. And I'm going to just create these, the next generation of Ronaldo's Modric's.
We need strikers in Canada. So if you can export some over. Of that.
If you start a horse, a racehorse, that's millions of dollars, right? You make a lot of money. Bring over Ronaldo. Stud him.
No.
Yes.
I don't want any part of this.
Oh, come on. Think about it.
I think it's a money-making opportunity, Dubs.
You know, we're always asking, you know, these retirements tough for footballers. We've talked about it with our guys, how hard it is with yourself as well, Dubs. It'd be a lot easier if the transition is going from football to a stud farm. You're getting laid every night.
Oh, by, God.
In a harem. And creating these wonderful footballers. You could be part of it too, Dubs, you know, back in the day. Could have been you too. I'm not just saying it's just the men.
What could have been? Yeah, that's right. Equal opportunity.
That's right. I think it's a pretty good idea. I think a lot of footballers will say, okay, I bet Jimmy and Craig would.
Yeah, you just match them up with other female athletes, right?
Yeah, right.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
This segment is brought to you by nobody.
Imagine those awkward glances, you know.
This segment they walk into the stud farm Monster and, energy drink.
I'm just saying, you know, you're next Ronaldo. You mean you may have to talk to their other halves and make sure it's okay with them, you know, perhaps. But just saying, it's a thought.
Yeah, I like it. I like that you're blue skying. That was just a brainstorm.
That's what I'm doing.
There's no dumb ideas in a brainstorm, Charms.
No,
remember that.
There isn't. Is it inappropriate? Maybe. Hey, shall we get to Canada and some comments?
Sure.
Let's rip the end, Timmy. Dubs, you know damn well it's a great idea.
And on
respect the ideas on the pod, Dubs. Respect the ideas on the pod.
Not that one.
It's the World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by Tim Hortons. It's game on with Tim's.
That was nice. I love that tone. Nice. The Tim's. That was beautiful.
I was trying to change the tone of the show.
Yeah, I like that.
So listen, everybody. Yesterday, Arash Madani was on. And there was some debates, some deep-held debates. And there was lots of responses on YouTube and the Apple and all of those things on the line, as they call it. So here's one. I really like, and this is from yesterday, this is Baldwin, 7042. I really like Jimmy Brennan's take. It was a powerful statement. Completely agree with him. But then at Ramey 28 said, Arash is spot on. Did he really feel something? I'm not sure. He made a business decision. We're not talking about a career-ending injury. Not playing doesn't guarantee him his job at Bayern Munich. He simply was not willing to take any risk for his country. Is this the new standard? Never play unless you're 100%. This was possibly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If we even qualify next time, it will be as a third-seeded team, making it very difficult to just get out of the group. I believe Jesse agrees too. Otherwise, he would never have heard about the clean MRI. And then at Human Rights, at XI5EF says, I'm with Fonzie all the way. Dubs, you and Arash had a great conversation, and Jimmy did too. Nothing's changed in a day. But when you take a step away, is there anything else that Marsh, you would have done differently if you're Marsh, Jesse Marsh, or anything different if you're Alphonso Davies? That this narrative kind of, did they feed into it, I guess is my question for you.
Yes. And I think it's important to note that, you know, did he feel something? We're talking about Alphonso Davies. Mm. And then it was Arash's comments to say that Jesse Marsh was lying for Fonzie all tournament with the whole decoy talk. And then at the end of the match, they're out of the World Cup. They lose to Morocco and Fonzie was meant to be available. Jesse Marsh is on the dais at the post-match presser. And he says, he reveals that Alphonso Davies had received not a clean bill of health, but that the MRI that they ran a couple days prior was clean. What I want to add to all that, because Arash and I went back and forth and, you know, should he have the armband? Should he have been part of the roster? We ran the gamut with all of those different points. I think I back Fonzie. I know I back Fonzie. A lot of people do. And I don't think that was what Arash said. What I kind of disagreed with was the fact that Jesse Marsh was throwing Fonzie under the bus by making that public. But what I didn't talk about yesterday, I want to say now, is that if you get a clean MRI or the MRI is clear, whatever the language is there, it doesn't mean that you're near 100% fitness. Mm-hmm. One does not equal the other. And that might mean that you're cleared to your return to play protocol or you're cleared to join training, but it does not mean that you're fit to start. And it doesn't mean that you're fit to even play. So I think there were a lot of assumptions being made based on that statement. And I don't think it meant that Jesse Marsh was, you know, that there was any discord behind the scenes, that they weren't communicating, that they were at odds. I mean, that's a big leap to make. And I think that Jesse Marsh, what he's done very, very well, and he'll continue to do because he signed to a new contract for 4 more years. And Kevin Blue yesterday was talking about his involvement with the U20 program. And then important competition for the U20s, which qualifies them for Paris in 2028. I wouldn't be surprised for Luke de Fougerolle to be made available to that because he had an outstanding tournament. He's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Jesse Marsh wants to make sure that this philosophy of play, which is able to extract the very best out of our player pool, which we're trying to expand, is being taught and is being imparted in the same way at the U20 team, at the U17 team, at all of our different provincial development systems. So he's very passionate about doing that, but he's very passionate about how he stands for his players and protects them. And talks about them as human beings and talks about them as footballers. So does he get along with everybody? Likely not. But I did not see that reveal as him throwing anybody under the bus, especially not his captain and Alphonso Davies. I think it was just, we have not been transparent and I'm used to doing that. So here's all the information. But a clean MRI does not mean that you're cleared to play.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Sorry, Sharms. It's just that yesterday I wanted to ask that question, but we ran out of time. Does an MRI, and I knew the answer, that an MRI does not mean that you're clear, but I wanted to throw it to people who've actually had MRIs waiting to play. It doesn't mean that it's equal to you can play now. It doesn't mean that at all. And the other thing, just to clarify or give context, Kevin Blue, General Secretary, CEO of Canada Soccer, had a press conference yesterday and shared some of that information that Dubs just shared too.
Yeah, and then listen, it's okay for coaches not to get on with players and be best buds as well. Every team has it. Just because Jesse Marsh has this larger-than-life personality and we like talking to him, it doesn't mean every single member of that squad loves Jesse Marsh, and that's okay. It doesn't mean you can't be successful. Now, I have no idea about Fonzie and Marsh and their relationship. I haven't got a clue. From what I've seen in training, they seem to get on really well.
Yep.
But whatever that's worth, it's irrelevant. They could hate each other. I don't care. Just get the results. Simple as that. And Jesse Marsh would know full well that if Fonzie's healthy and feeling good, he's starting him every match. And that's probably good enough for Fonzie as well. That's simple. I mean, did he need to mention the MRI? The fact that it's caused this conversation, he probably didn't.
No.
And he probably shouldn't have, because it has now given people some meat to chew on, especially daily podcasts during a World Cup that are desperate for content.
Thank you, Jesse
Thank
Marsh.
You very much,
it was like when he was on the dais again and he revealed that he'd used Fonzie as a decoy, and then he kind of paused and like the wry smile. It's like he can't help himself sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, we have a great t-shirt available on wearefootyprime.com and our shop there, a decoy 19 shirt with no trademarks attached to it, by the way. So you can buy that. It's available and it doesn't even shrink when you wash it, I don't think. We'll find out.
Maybe we should trademark it. We should trademark everything. A little TM there.
We should do it. Yeah. By the way, I have never been more interested in a Canada U20 team than I am right now. Mm-hmm. And for this upcoming CONCACAF Championship, starts July 26th. All the games are on One Soccer. We talked about who's next. Who's coming through the system? Who's going to be there that we can maybe rely on? Who's going to score the goals of Canada? We need that prolific marksman. Who's going to be the little creator? Are they already in the system? Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? So we talk about becoming a football nation and what's the legacy of this World Cup. One of those legacies is people watching the age grade teams.
Yeah.
on TV, in the stadiums. I'm fascinated by this. It's going to be something to really watch, and we'll
talk about it. You're fascinated, but do you have the time? Let's be honest.
Well, you know what? It's before the
playoffs. Your bacon pies. We've already talked about your pie responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Dubs has young children. JC has young children. Wonger is empty nesting and building things all around the house. Adding another, like this World Cup, 24 hour, like it seemed like it's 14 hours a day almost, right?
Wonger,
like,
there's going to be withdrawal. Tomorrow there are no matches. Did you know this? There are no matches
on matches today.
Even two a day is tough. I'm going to drink
heavily.
Oh, is that the plan tomorrow, Dubs?
I think so.
Oh, nice. Day drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll have some day drinking.
There's something thrilling about day drinking, isn't there? Oh, like,
it's so rule breaking, I think. Because by 7 p.m., you're done.
You are.
And you go for a nice long sleep, and the next morning you don't feel quite as bad.
Yeah. Yeah, except if you have nephews. So I'll share a little story. My mother's, what we called her wake after her funeral, we had our number of Acadian family and over to the cottage after, and we started playing volleyball and drinking and hanging out. And so that was the first round. And then we had dinner. So after dinner around 8 o'clock, I was done because it was a very emotional day. Obviously, I had to give a bit of a eulogy, a little stressed by that.
You did too.
Oh, I did. I nailed it.
No mic needed.
Thank you. I should put this down. But then we went back to, you know, we're partying and we're hanging out. We're having a dance party around 8:30. I go to bed. I go, hey, everybody, I'm done. Like, we've been doing it all day, nice and responsible. At around 9:15, I have two of my nephews pull me out of bed and go, Uncle Dad, we're still going. What are you doing here? I was I had the worst hangover of all time because I kept going. So you don't need that in the day drinking. You don't need that extended, you know, turning it into night drinking. That is
right. Yeah. No, the day drinking into night drinking is called alcoholism. Okay.
It's called a bender.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any more comments?
Oh, yeah. We have a couple.
Remember that show we're doing?
Here's a corporate take, and it was a fun one from Darth Nacho. Since we all have our theories about Davies, here's my corporate fan fiction theory. They had to include Davies because all of the media around Team Canada involved him. The mistake was putting all our media sponsorship on the shoulders of one person. And neither Marsh or Davies had a say in that matter. Unfortunately, that wasn't fair to anyone and was a rookie move by Canada Soccer. Now, to be fair, it is a new board and organization, and we are way better off than we were under the old guard. And then at Greg Jones, AD Alphonso Davies is a good guy and proud Canadian. I'm trusting his decision. So two fun takes.
I like that. I mean, it's very cynical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's not true, but it's a good take.
Jonathan Davies was also profiled a lot.
Was David. That Alphonso's brother?
Jonathan David. Sorry.
Yeah. No, he was. Yeah. Of course, they sell the sponsorship before the World Cup and they shoot all these spots. And then it happens all the time. A player gets injured. Like, oh, God. You can imagine how BMO was feeling. Poor BMO. Poor Bank. I feel so bad for them that their star player only played 15 minutes. They're the real victims of this World Cup. The Banks. Yeah.
But I think I have been auditing commercials, and the three most, or I should say the foremost viewed people were Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Jesse Marsh, and Jacob Schaffelberg. Those were the four that, Schaff was profiled, a lot in commercials. But the thing that I'm now that Canada's out, it's just a reminder that we're out. Like, I see these commercials, I'm like, I don't want to see fans cheering Canada because it's over. It's a bit of a rub in. I'm feeling a little tender.
Well, imagine south of the border.
Oh, yeah.
It's really being rubbed in.
Now you want to be watching Fox, right, Charles?
Yeah, finally. Yeah, exactly. What will they do now?
Well, in their branding, and Charms, you know this because you were down there, but their branding is everything is branded USA, like Team USA, like every bag of chips, every, can of soda, every giant can of energy drink. It's all Team USA. So that's in their face. Like,
yeah, someone who was it was saying on X that Trump, though, is going to now consider invading Belgium or something like that. It was quite amusing. They'll deflect and go somewhere else now. And they might need to start a war.
I have to tell you, I think they already did that.
Another one.
I was eating a bag of Lay's when Lay's was on, and they were the chimichurri Argentina Messi Lay's, and they weren't too bad. I had to buy them.
Messi Lay's, again, stud farming, see? Going back to that again.
That is very good. Well done.
I don't want that one. I don't want
the commercial though. That's the Beckham, Steve Carell.
That's Messi. A great one.
It's really is Puteus. An excellent commercial.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite actually throughout the World Cup. It doesn't. I don't get tired of it. Like a lot of the commercials.
I wonder if it's real. Do you think it may have been a bit real? Like they did recruit people on the street with those good cameras and stuff.
Maybe.
They seem to be like genuinely shocked.
Yeah.
What? See, JC's kind of in the acting world a little bit. He doesn't buy it, do you? You don't buy it.
I buy the chips, but I certainly don't get invited to the party.
Oh, I see.
Like, do you really think they said, oh, sorry, there's Beckham. Oh, sorry, you haven't got Lay's in your bag, so you can piss off.
Well, fact that they're all wearing makeup and they all happen to have the bags, and then, hey, what about these fake chips? And then...
Like, no.
Well,
in the background, the big building that says supermarket on it.
Oh, generics. Oh,
in you're
right.
Town.
Town.
Yeah. David Beckman.
Yeah, just letting the general public near Messi and Beckham and these guys, right? Steve Carell. No security presence whatsoever.
No. The funniest bit about that.
Lurking in the pantry?
Yeah.
I don't think we have enough chips for the party.
Like, Beckham's been everywhere, right? He's got like a hand in all of the pots of these different sponsors. But my favorite bit about that commercial, I think it's part of why it doesn't get old, Charms, to your point, is that it's Carell making fun of Beckham.
Like, that was the best part of it, actually, that line. Yeah. Yeah, right. It is. You know, so I read an article about Beckham being in too many commercials. Does it water down his effect?
That's right.
It probably does, because I can't remember, apart from the Lay's commercial, I don't know what else he's advertising.
Home Depot.
Apart from everything. Oh, Home Depot. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He buys a table saw, doesn't he?
McDonald's.
At one point.
McDonald's.
Is he at McDonald's too? Is he really?
Yes, because he's on those cups. I had to go with my kids the other day.
Right.
And I was like, if anybody gets the Grimace cup, I'm backing over it with the car.
Oh,
and
my mate.
Campbell got Grimace.
Really? Out of all those you could get?
Yeah.
Is he in a kit? Is Grimace like in a kit or anything?
I didn't look at it. I immediately recycled it.
My mate Faisal Kamisa from Sportsnet. Great guy. We'll get him on the show. He's been on before, I think, hasn't he? Once, maybe. Anyway, he is obsessed by this kind of stuff. He buys it all. Mm. No matter he gets suckered in by every single company that's trying to still itself for the World Cup, and he leaves. He arrives in Vancouver with a suitcase.
Shill yourself at the stud empty. Farm.
Yeah, Faisal's not in the stud farm. I don't think. Maybe broadcast a stud farm. There should be a broadcast a stud farm. No, let's not go there.
No. But I want to ask you about Faisal just quickly before we wrap. He was doing a kit a day. So when you guys were on the road, did you like wake up and think, "Ooh, I wonder what Faisal's wearing today"?
I just nudged him. We're that close. We were living out of a hotel room together. No,
hey, little spoon. What are you going to wear today?
He's got so many kits. He brought he brought like 40 kits with him. Right. And whatever space was left in his suitcase, he got McDonald's cups and whatever the hell else he's trying to. He was convinced to buy by the.
I'd never thought I'd get to say this, but this is how Charms said hello to Faisal was, "Hi, Dick. Morning, Rod." So there you go.
I have no idea what that means.
Hi, Dick. Morning, Rod. What?
I don't get it.
Charms, come on. You just talked about stud farts.
You woke up right beside him. Hi, Dick. Yeah. Morning, Rod.
I don't get it. Explain it to me.
It's what happens in the morning to a lot of men.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Sometimes not after day drinking, though. It depends.
I'll take your word for it. We're out of time, thank God. See, four of us can handle a podcast by ourselves.
Sure.
There'll be some though saying, God, it sucked without Jimmy and Craig. Well, you could have turned off half an hour in, couldn't you, you idiot? Anyway, that's the show for today. That's us Philly Prime. We're back tomorrow, I think. Till then, make sure you sprinkle some of your wagers on BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
Lord.
That went off the rails at the end.
As it should.
I don't get the Dick and Rod thing at all.
Oh my God, you're so not Canadian. Don't say you're Canadian if you don't know. You wake up with a morning rod.
Yeah.
It's what you wake up with, like with your cocks fired in the morning.
Oh, my.
So called a morning rod.
Is it? I never heard that before, ever.
Okay,
morning
you know,
wood.
Like,
morning wood, I've heard.
Yeah.
Morning, never heard morning rod.
But it's to fit the bit. And Dick? You should have got that button.
Yeah, bye, no? Dick, because your dick's high.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Dick. Morning, Rod.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard that before, ever. Now I get it.
And now everyone's
you're usually a little bit bigger.
We should probably... Are we going to beep that for...
no, it's perfect.
I think we probably should. Don't you think?